It's a thrill to study your word and open it and see what you have for us. Pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us in what's the information that has to be taught this evening. And pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different here. I don't know if it's ever been done at Westside before. But you've heard the pastor speak this Sunday that a lot of people get their doctrines from hymns. And, you know, like there's power in the blood and all the other goofy hymns that are in the hymnal. But I'm going to do something different. I found a hymn that was made from doctrine. And it's kind of the theme song here at Westside. It's hymn number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we're gonna open our Bibles and our hymn books this evening to look at the words of hymn number 43. We're gonna see all the doctrines that are taught in this hymn, and we'll talk some about who wrote it. And it's just really was a neat study, getting into this. I'll start with reading about it, and Thomas Obadiah Chisholm, 1866 to 1960 was his lifespan. The main verse in the Bible was Lamentations 3:22 to 23. Because of his mercies we aren't consumed, but his compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And one of the important lessons, I'm just reading here what they have written about Thomas. One of the important lessons the children of Israel had to learn during their wilderness journey was that God's provision of manna for them was on a morning-to-morning basis. And they could not survive on the old manner, nor could it be stored. And so they had to put their trust in the Lord that every day each day that the manna would be there, just to put their trust in him. And that was in Exodus 16, verses 19 through 21. And while many enduring hymns were born out of a particular dramatic experience, this was simply the result of the author's morning-by-morning realization of God's personal faithfulness in his daily life. Shortly before his death in 1960, Thomas Chisholm wrote, "My income has never been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me on until now. But I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which has filled me with astonishing gratefulness." Thomas Obadiah Chisholm was born in a crude log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky. From this humble beginning and without the benefit of high school or advanced education, he somehow began a career as a school teacher at the age of 16. And at the same country school where he received his elementary training, after believing in Christ as his Savior, he became an editor for a small paper, and later was ordained as a Methodist minister. Throughout his long lifetime, he wrote more than 1,200 sacred poems, many of which have since become prominent hymn texts. And other than Great is Thy Faithfulness, there is a couple more in our hymn book. I have them in this book here, just to let you know what they are. Living for Jesus was one that we do here every once in a while. And he was wounded for our transgression. Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, to be like thee and trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it was some of the hymns that he wrote. So anyway, we'll just start with the hymn. And just start with the first phrase, "Great is thy faithfulness." And like I stated before, Lamentations 3, verse 23, "Thy compassions there fail not, great is thy faithfulness." Psalm 36, verse 5, is a verse that we just read at during prayer meeting tonight. Let's read that. We're going to do a lot of turning of the pages in the Bible tonight because there's a lot of neat verses that, you know, with the doctrines that are involved with this hymn as we take it apart and examine it. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Great is thy faithfulness, is the first phrase in this hymn. O God, my Father, God's faithfulness, it, being one of God's attributes, and is an inexhaustible resource to us as believers to put our trust in and in His faithfulness and Him saying what He'll do. Another verse is Psalm 119, verse 90. And this verse says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The next phrase, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. James 1:17 is the next verse, and this speaks of God's immutability. James 1:17. And it's going to look a little bit different in the Old King James than it does in the New American Standard, but I just like the my Bible better than the other one. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the second, and it says, there is no shadow of turning with thee. We're talking about the unchanging God that we have, how He is totally predictable. We can just trust that He'll always be there. He's just not going to change the rules just because He wants to. The next phrase, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. Another verse in Hebrews 1, verse 10 through 12. Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but not thou. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. But the Lord, He never changes, always the same. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. Lamentations 3:22 again is the first reference. And Psalm 86, verse 15. Let's read that. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Also, you can write in your notes Psalm 111, verse 4, 112, verse 4. 145, verse 8. And Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and you healed their sick. Another verse similar is Matthew 15:32. And one more, 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Compassion of our Lord. The next phrase, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Again, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Genesis 8:20-22. Genesis 8:20-22. You know, just going to all these scriptures and stuff, it's amazing. The guy, you know, Thomas, when he wrote this psalm, this hymn, that he, you know, all the, you could tell that he had studied the Bible, because all the words of the hymn, they're just taken right from the scriptures, and he just put them to music. And really kind of neat. It's just, you know, when we do pick a hymn to sing, or when I pick one to sing on Sunday morning, you know, we try to pick ones that make sense or ones that are doctrinally correct and stuff. And if I do sing a verse, you know, John lets me know about it if it's kind of out of line. So it's nice to have a hymn, you know, and you can tell why this is his favorite hymn. I mean, every phrase in the hymn comes right out of the scripture. So Genesis 8:20-22. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is faithful when he says that this thing that he'll do. Also coupled with that verse in Genesis 8 is Numbers 23:19, which is another verse of God's veracity, which is the attributes of God. All I got to do is find it. Numbers 23:19. Everybody getting there before I am? 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and he will do it? And what he has spoken, it'll come to pass. Another one, it just lines right up with great is thy faithfulness in God's veracity. Next phrase, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Psalm 74:16-17. Psalm 74:16-17. The day is thine, and the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Psalm 148. Psalm 148:1-6. I just in reading a lot more verses than just the particular one, but these verses are so great to bring them all together. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Another great group of verses pertaining to this particular phrase. Another reference is Psalm 136, verses 7 and 9, speaks of the sun ruling the day and the moon and stars at night. Turn next to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars. And the ordinance here is the pattern of where God puts them in place. The ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Another reference in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41. And another reference I want to read is in Isaiah 13, 10. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations, or the positions thereof, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. That's it. But what it's mentioning here is just that what I was getting at with this verse was that the stars and the constellations and their positions line up with this verse, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Just shows that the guy, that when he was writing this, he knew, you know, not only how to put it together in a poetic form, but that he had done his homework as far as what the Lord had put in the scriptures. Next phrase, join with all nature in manifold witness. Romans 1, 19 through 20. Romans 1, 19 through 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or made evident in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Join with all nature in a manifold witness, the evidence of the witness of creation. To thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Exodus 20, verse 6. Says, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. And our Father is faithful to do that. He shows mercy, when we deserve condemnation. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, God is rich in mercy. Also, another reference is Jude 21. The next phrase, or the next verse, pardon for sin. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Pardon for sin. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 7, also 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next phrase, and a peace that endureth. John 16:33 says, these things I have written unto you, that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. Another verse, Romans 1, 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And turn to Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Next phrase, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Hebrews 13:5 speaks of the presence of God. And turn to Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24. All these verses and the attributes of God, the essence of God, are on that little card, the card that's in the back next to the blue gospel tracts. And that show of God's essence. Jeremiah 23, and these are the verses that are really good to memorize. I had them all memorized once, then I forgot them when I was memorizing other ones. So. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide in a hiding place where I do not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, saith the Lord? Presence, the presence of God is omnipresence. To cheer and to guide. Cheer, Matthew 9, verse 2. Matthew 9, 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick with the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Well, if somebody said that to me, I'd be a good cheer, too. A lot to be happy about there. Also, John 16, 33 again. These things I have written unto you, that you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The next reference is Acts 23, 10 and 11. Acts 23:11. Ten and 11. And when they arose, a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him to the castle. And that's quite a scene there, that the guy thinks that they're going to just tear him in half. And so the soldiers go down and bump everybody out of the way, grab them and haul them into the house. And at the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also in Rome." So Paul says, "Oh boy, well, I got through that mess, and I get to go see it again in Rome." But, you know, Lord told him to be of good cheer, nothing to worry about. So I'm sure Paul probably knew about this hymn before it was written. Thine own due presence to cheer and to guide. Lots of verses with guide. Psalm 31, verse 3. Psalm 48, 14. I know you're sick of turning these, did I? That's all right. Psalm 48, 14. "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And it's the, you know, it's just the faithfulness of God. It's always, you know, know that he's omnipresent, he's unchanging, he means what he says, and he's going to be there even when we're facing death or going through dying grace. A lot of peace and joy that, you know, with just that, you know, that when we sing this hymn, it's just going to add that so much more to it, that, you know, because of all of the doctrine that comes forth out of this, and it's just when you start examining it and it was, you know, I just wanted to do a study on it, so. It guides us into all truth, it says in John 16, 13. Also Luke 1, 78 and 79, under guide. Strength for today. Kurt, the other day when he was teaching, he mentioned the movie Saving Private Ryan and the coward in the movie. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but it's a real, you know, emotional type touching scene that is, you know, when you look at the coward and how, you know, how like disgusting it was, and to seeing the guy just kind of cringe and under fire and everything. But then Kurt also mentioned that, you know, who of us haven't been there when the gospel should have been proclaimed and we didn't, you know, and how God must look at us, you know, like we would look at that coward in that movie, you know, with disgust, or, you know, after everything that he's given us, the Holy Spirit and all the written word and stuff, the still times when we fail so bad. And that coward scene in Saving Private Ryan was a real, you know, a vivid, you know, just a visual of what, you know, the Lord, you know, when we fail, you know, to witness and do what we should do. But anyway, strength for today is another one that's out of Saving Private Ryan. My favorite person in the movie was the sniper who quoted verses. And Psalm 144, verse 1 said, "Blessed is the Lord my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Boom! You know, that was it just. And Lord, I wanted to watch the movie again and pick out all the Bible verses and that he had mentioned, and so, and then find out where they're at. But you know, he was our favorite. Just, it just kind of, you know, it follows along with you know, the in the Bible says 10,000 will fall at your right hand and 5,000 at your left. You know, but if the Lord's got a plan for you, you know, you can just keep plugging away, keep your eyes focused on the. On the target, and you won't worry. You know, bullets are going to be flying by and stuff, and there's just nothing to worry about. You're going to be confident in the Lord and His plan. And so, Psalm 144, verse 1 was a great verse for strength for today, also Exodus 15:2, Exodus 13:3, and then turn to 2 Samuel 22. And talk about a strength passage when David's song of deliverance in chapter 22, starting at verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet or deer's feet, and setteth me up upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. You're standing on solid ground when you're doing the Lord's work, and you're just not going to slip when you're under his control. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that thou could not arise, yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with the strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he has answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient to me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall not be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avenges me and bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from my enemies. Thou hast also lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is a tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Isaiah 26, verse 4, also says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That was Isaiah 26, verse 4. Jeremiah 16, verse 9, strength and fortress. Revelation 12 and 10 speaks of strength in salvation and in his kingdom. Next phrase, bright hope for tomorrow. Psalm 16. Next passage, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence, in fullness of joy at the right hand,
there are pleasures forevermore.
And Psalm 38:15 also speaks of hope. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Jeremiah 17 is the next one I'd like to read. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Lots of hope given for us in the scriptures. Also, Lamentations 3, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Next phrase, blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Genesis 39. Genesis 39, verses 2 through 5. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. He's talking of Potiphar here. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Jacob's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Ezekiel 34, verse 26, talks of showers of blessings. 10,000 besides. Showers of blessing, Ezekiel 34, verse 26. Romans 15, verse 29, talking of Paul's diligence here in preaching the gospel. Reading, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Romans 15:29, and Proverbs 10, verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee. Talking to Abraham. And Deuteronomy 7, the next passage I'd like to turn to. Deuteronomy verse 7. Deuteronomy 7, verses 11. Through 15. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day and do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee a covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thy oil, and the increase of thy kind or herds, and the flocks of thy sheep,
in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all the people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all of them that hate thee.
More of the blessings of the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, tells the Lord he blesses all the works of thy hand. Psalm 28, verse 9, the Lord will bless thine inheritance. Psalm 115, verse 13, he will bless those who fear the Lord. And Jeremiah 4, verse 2, the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. And Deuteronomy 28
is the next passage. Deuteronomy 28, verses 3 through 9. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy herds, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemy to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless them in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And with 10,000s beside, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God of Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so that's the doctrine of hymn number 43. Anyway, there's a lot of truth in this hymn, and everything lines up with the Bible, and it's no, surprise that it's our pastor's favorite hymn and why he likes to sing it so much, and that's what I have for this evening. So let's pray and dismiss. Father, again, we're thankful for this truth and just all that. Who you are, and what you are, and the blessings you promised to us, and that all you want us to do is trust you and obey you, and we just pray now that we would take what we've learned and apply it to our daily lives, and keep short accounts, and look for opportunities to grow in your grace and knowledge, and to witness to others, and just be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name, amen.